For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
When you're out of shape and haven't worked out in a while, sometimes it takes a very serious moment to force you to put one foot in front of the other. And podcasting is actually no different. 'Cause man, I'm out of shape. Welcome to all new, all different, but still, All of the Above, new version of the old scene. Once upon a time, part of the Fishbowl Radio Network, still part of Podomatic, SoundCloud and iTunes, or Apple Music, whatever the heck you want to call it. Things have changed in the years I've been sitting behind a microphone and talking to all of you. If you aren't familiar with All of the Above Radio, the previous concept, just go to alloftheaboveradio.com. There is still years of phenomenal content on there. Content that I am wildly proud of. Some of it I'm not. But most of it, really proud of it. I mean, the stuff that I'm not proud of, I usually pretty quickly got rid of, erased, or pretended it didn't happen. But as the lead singer of Five Finger Death Punch once said, I remember everything. It's been a long time since I've chatted with all of you, and the times that we are living in have caused me to have lots and lots of thoughts. Really, just living in general causes me to have lots and lots of thoughts, but it's been a long time since I've had the time, or taken the time, to chat with you about any of it. And I kept teasing the fact that I was going to clue you guys in on it, and I never did. So the 200-mile-an-hour version, I spent, almost a year. It was the day after the Super Bowl of 19 that I started the journey, took the personal journey of going to massage school. I wanted to do a personal growth year and possibly a job/career pivot and add massage to my little handful of transferable skills. And so I finished school. Oh boy, finished school. Maybe it was mid-July. I finished school and then had to do 50 hours of internship, aka unpaid massage, and then had to take the hardest test I've ever taken in my damn life, the MLEX. And in the midst of all that, I was able to give you a few interviews. I caught up to Misty of Manhattan Project. I caught up to the great Michael Sanders of Putting on Smiles. Caught up to Blake Gordon of Breaking Brew over in Addison/Dallas, Texas. I've been able to give you some fun content in the midst of, but not even close to the same regularity as what I was giving you when I was a member of the Fishbowl Radio Network and doing All of the Above Radio every Tuesday. A certain level of regularity and familiarity was built doing that. And I knew when I was getting ready to make the pivot to massage school, I knew I was going to give up Fishbowl, and I knew I was going to give up that every Tuesday thing. You know, as much as us human beings, my brain doesn't like regularity. I don't like the idea of having the same cereal for a month in a row. If you're gonna force me to eat the same cereal, you sure as hell better give me some blueberries and some strawberries and some raspberries and some blackberries, and then I can change the cereal up at least so it's not exactly the same thing. My brain does not like regularity. My body prefers it. And everyone's body prefers it. Your regularity of sleep, your working out, we'll get to that in a second. Your body prefers you be on some level of routine. As does mine. My brain can't stand it. And it's funny, the relationship I'm in, she loves to call out the fact that there are certain things that I say on a somewhat regular basis, and she will wait for me to say them, and if I haven't said them, she'll say them in the hopes that I say them. For a long time, she would say something that was overly true, and I would say, "Ain't that the truth?" And then she would wait for me to say it, because she calls it my catchphrase. But me, I hate being predictable. And she's not making fun of me, but the fact that she knows that that's what I'm about to say absolutely forces me to turn left and not say it. So now you got to try to say something else. Because you know what? If somebody finds me predictable and isn't bored by that, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But me, I don't like being predictable. And if you would talk to my good friend, better known as Harden B, her code name from All of the Above Radio. You gotta check out alloftheaboveradio.com to color in some of these lines. But one of my very good friends, we used to do the third Tuesday of every month. She was my co-host, but this was before she had kids, and her husband was in law school. So we would go get lunch, or would day drink, or would go shopping. We would just spend the day together, just because we had the time, I was single, and she had the time, and we ended up being good friends as a result of it. And so we would go to lunch inevitably, and she was pretty much able to call out what I would get to eat. She could look at the menu and see that there was probably three things I would order: some level of salad, some level of chicken sandwich, and some level of insert here. And it got to annoy me because she knew me well enough to know what I was going to order. And there are people in this world that love that, that absolutely adore that somebody is that reliable. For me, reliable is some level of... Okay. Reliable gives me the fear that I'm boring. So even if not for my own brain, if I know I'm becoming reliable at something, I'm probably going to try to change it up. Now, that's not what I do at my job. When I'm at work, I would prefer to be reliable and steady because, well, the work needs to get done, and I'm not busy trying to change people's perception of me while I'm at work. I'm trying to make money, people. It doesn't encompass all of my life. Anyway. Here's how everything comes back around. If this is your first time listening to All New, All Different, All of the Above, I get back to the original point. I always do. It just takes me a second. Stay with me. So, what I was saying is, what I truly do miss is the regularity and the routine of every Tuesday. Because it didn't start with Tuesday, it started with probably Sunday night. Sunday night, I would start looking over the Google feed and compiling my notes from the last week, month, whatever, figuring out what I still felt strongly about, what ideas were still running through my head, what I still was burning on, or what topics from previous were burning on my mind. And then Monday, I would compile it into honest notes. And then Tuesday morning, I would wake up and I would write down the exact things I wanted to talk about. And I would basically create enough content for 4 hours worth of podcasting, even though I was only doing two. Because if I didn't have enough to say, or if I had too much to say, I could always shift on the fly. Because you wouldn't think it, but that 30-minute drive, that will sometimes cool you off onto the topics you thought you were hot about when you woke up that morning. If you've ever done some level of podcasting or radio or speech, these are things that are very familiar. Music is kind of similar. Anything that requires expression, you can feel real hot about something in that moment. The next morning, you might still be warm about it. A couple hours later, you might have cooled off. And then a month later, you heat up about it again. And it creates a certain expression in you. Funny story, just off to the side. It's Friday nights. I go to bed to Fox Sports Radio, and the overnight guy is a guy named Jonas Knox. He's very good. I very much like Jonas Knox. He's another one of those people who is thriving in a non-sports world that we currently live in. Hashtag flatten the curve. But he got on the air and opened up his show, very similar to what I used to do, alloftheaboveradio.com, where the first mic break that you come into, you want it to be strong, you want it to be interesting, thought-provoking, laughing, venting, whatever it is, you want it to be so strong that it keeps people interested. And Jonas Knox got on the mic, and he proceeded to rip people on Facebook that make the passive-aggressive post. The post something to the effect of, I haven't been this unhappy in weeks. And it's that post that you're asking for attention but don't want to out and out talk to one person directly. So then, predictably, people will text, oh, what's wrong? Text me, DM me, what's going on? We'll get through this together. And Jonas Knox proceeded to rip people that do that. And it was I think it was about an athlete who had tweeted something out. I don't remember. When you're on paid commercial radio, you have to be active on Twitter. And I'm glad that I'm not on Twitter anymore, at Hank Told You So. Feel free to go check out the last post I sent, which was probably a year and a half ago. But I'm glad I'm not on it because it's just a lot of weeds. And I remember listening to that opening from Jonas Knox and saying, I've had this microphone talk before. I've got on the microphone and have been so pissed about something that I let it out. I let him have it on the microphone, and then I felt better about it, and I was able to go on to the next part of my show, whatever it was. I very strongly remember the feeling of the rant that he did. The exact rant was probably not the same. I don't know that I've done that rant specifically. I've done that Facebook post specifically when I was a less mature man. But I haven't done that rant. But I knew the feeling and I knew the intent that he had. And it really made me miss being on one of these microphones talking to you. And by extension, it made me miss the regularity that was created by doing all of the above radio from May 8th of 2012 to, January 26th of 2019. I don't remember what the last day of all of the above was. I've given you content since with all new, all different, all of the above, but it's not with that same regularity. And I've missed it the whole time. And for years, I have been the guy with the podcast. I wasn't the guy with the followers or the listeners, but I was the guy with the podcast. Because inevitably, every so often, people still ask me, hey, Hank, how's the podcast? Well, I don't back off the choice I made to go to massage school. And here's one more time I'm going to say this. But one more time I'm going to say it. I'll go into the full explanation of why massage school was so important and how it actually happened. I'll get there. I swear I will. That's not for today. The thing I'm just trying to tell you is it was so important for me to go to massage school that I chose to put down all of the above radio in favor of it. And so with that went the regularity of doing the show. And really, people don't really think much about this unless you really know me. But the truth is that another thing that I lost is a weekly platform to talk. As a person who likes to be heard, not a person who likes to talk, as a person who likes to be heard, who thinks and feels that he has something important and interesting and educational to say, I really miss it. I really do. But school was so important, and studying was so hard. Ugh. And anybody that chooses to roll their eyes at this in this moment, I want you to, if you never took anatomy in high school and are forced to take it at age 40, oh, and then take kinesiology? Ugh. Oh boy, it was rough. It was rough. I am so glad, by the way, that YouTube was there to create moving pictures versus just pages on a book. Because there's no one way for a person to learn. And telling me that I needed to read pages 318 to 346 on Tuesday night so that I could be ready for the next round of material on Thursday, it's a crock. It's an absolute crock. School is a young person's game, but wanting to learn is an old person's game. Figure that shit out. There's your first curse. Anyway, so remember how I told you that it takes, sometimes it takes something big to get you to put one foot in front of the other. Well, real quick, when I was 20 years old, I had just been kicked out of college for academic probation. I had just been dumped by Kim Schaefer, and things were not looking good. Now, I was lazy as all get out and didn't know how to be a student, so it was a monster of my own creation. But at the same time, it was pretty jarring to get booted from school. Oh, and by the way, I had put on several people's freshman 15, and I was, at this point, just about 245 pounds. And over that summer, I was cavorting with a gal from back home in Northwest New Jersey, and we started bickering because she wanted more, and I just wanted to, you know, whatever. I just wanted to have it be, just pick it up wherever I wanted to and put it down whenever I wanted to. And she was not my rock bottom, but the feelings I was going through over that couple of months put me somewhere in the spot of rock bottom. I can't tell you the exact point, but I just remember the conversation I had with my closest friend in the world outside of the Sussex County Public Library. We're smoking cigars, overlooking this little sad lake. And he was a few months, he was maybe 7 or 8 months in front of me in terms of wanting to be better for himself. And I'm kind of venting and complaining about the world around me. And he says, I'm just waiting for you to be angry enough to do something. I'm just waiting for you to get mad enough. I didn't understand at the time, but then eventually I kind of woke up one day and I was mad enough to want to do something. And this is 1999, everybody. Please don't don't come crashing down on me with your opinions about my choices. But I got on the Atkins diet, and I got on the treadmill, and lost a good amount of weight, and decided it was time to like try to be a better, healthier person. It took something big for me to want to put one foot in front of the other. And there's been several spots in my life that have been a very similar moment, but that one is the most glaring and probably the first that caused me to want to put one foot in front of the other, especially in a fitness sense. So that's the one that I gave you. Now, how that comes back to podcasting? Well, the last show that I gave you, you can go on All of the Above Radio and look and see, right at the end of October, when I interviewed the fantastically, geniusly brilliant Blake Gordon of Breaking Brew. Big shouts to them, by the way. One of the very, 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 very few local meaderies in DFW, in general, still, really. You give it 5 years, it may very well awaken itself, but for now, he's still doing it pretty original. That's the last show I gave you, was late October. And I've been thinking about it ever since, and I've been writing it down that I needed to do it ever since. I've been saying it out loud, and I have been trying to actually speak it into existence. I'm one of those people that quietly likes to go about my goals and then look back at them and be proud of them and then gloat about them afterwards. I'm not really good at telling people ahead of time to create the accountability because it doesn't help me actually get it done. Doing it helps get it done for me. Talking about it really doesn't. But something big happened in my world and in my life that caused me to want to get behind this microphone. And I don't know if you're going to find this. I don't know if it really matters whether or not you find it important, but fact of the matter is I did. Last week, let's figure out what day. I'm here on my trusty computer as I'm chatting with you. It happened last week. What day was it? I will tell you in just a second. March 30th. March 30th was the day that Bill Withers passed on to the next plane. Whatever plane you believe that is up to you, your creator, and your opinions. But Bill Withers died. And I woke up that morning and I heard that and I just said, oh. And I really couldn't even, I just had kind of a moment. Not tears, just a moment of sadness, because if you go into alloftheaboveradio.com, I'm 95% sure this episode is still up. It's March 11th of 2014, where I talk about the death of Harold Ramis. And then I did it again after the death of Prince. And I believe I've done it one other time. I think it was the death of David Bowie. All three of these people have the same thing in common, and I brought it up three different times, if not more, on the show. I never met any of them. But what you think about is how you felt because of their art, or the influences their art had on you, or the memories you created because of their art. I very fondly remember being scared. Having the water scared out of me, sitting at the drive-in theater with my mom, my dad, my sister, and me at a drive-in movie theater in Newton, New Jersey. In that space, by the way, when I left New Jersey, became an AutoZone and a Foot Locker and a Dairy Queen. but it used to be a drive-in theater, and we watched the double feature of The Last Dragon and Ghostbusters. And I still fondly and clearly remember being scared as a little kid of Ghostbusters in that drive-in with my family. And I never met Harold Ramis, but thanks to a movie that he was a writer in, an actor in, I have a great memory, or I have a memory, with my family. Thanks to something having to do with, oh, well, and this is not my story to tell, but I'll tell it anyway. I was sitting at a bar. This was the week after David Bowie had passed. There was a woman sitting at our table that I had just met who looked a lot like Odell Beckham, not the point. She didn't have any facial hair. Anyway. But she was so influenced by Bowie and so stricken by it that a David Bowie song came on in the bar we were at and she started crying. No shit. Just, and not like one tear. It was like, had to stop talking, had to get up from the table because she was crying because of how David Bowie affected her. And you can't take that away from people. You can't take those memories, the influence or the feelings away from people. So I know you're asking, gee, Hank.
Hey, how you doing?
What does Bill Withers mean to you? I'll tell you, thanks for asking. If you were one of the 7 or 8 people that listened to me back in 1998, yeah, 1998, the first radio show I ever did was the Sunday night / Monday morning overnight show on City Rhythms of WICB in Ithaca, New York. I was still a student at Ithaca College at this point. And funny enough, even though I was academically suspended, they didn't take that shift away from me, probably because nobody wanted it. But I would show up Sunday night / Monday morning at 3:15, 3 o'clock, whatever. And Mike Spann, still one of the deepest, most beautiful voices I've heard on college radio. He was like the baby making music before me, and then I would come in and slap you with R&B and hip-hop. And it's 1998, so we had just lost Biggie, but we were still listening to okay music. Kinda, sorta. And I played all sorts of hip-hop and R&B. But do the math here. The last song I would play every shift was right around 5:54, 5:55 in the morning on a Sunday night / Monday morning. So if you were listening to WICB to listen to the morning show, the last thing you would hear would be me playing Lovely Day by Bill Withers. If you're not familiar with the song, here it is right here. I will go ahead and give credit, by the way. Written by Bill Withers and Skip Scarborough and produced by Bill Withers and Clarence McDonald. You are familiar with this song because it's been covered over and over again. It's been in car commercials and... This cracks me up. The woman I date, she's been in the restaurants for a long time too, and I think she said she worked at Long. And well, I know she worked at a Longhorn Steakhouse a long, long time ago. And this song is one that played. And the song itself isn't polarizing. What's polarizing is the end of the song when he's wishing everybody to have a lovely day, and he holds a note. I think it's for 18 seconds. Neither here nor there, but it's funny. Anytime that song randomly comes on, she just she goes off into this horrible negative memory of this song played all the time at work. That stupid note at the end. And it's hilarious! because I have memories of music just like that. But for me, this song means so much more. This song, and this song was a throwaway song, by the way. Okay, see, I'm taking you back to Ithaca College, Ithaca, New York, right next to, on the South Hill is Ithaca, on the North Hill is Cornell University. That's one you're familiar with. Go Big Red. Great hotel school, by the way. But I remember the supermarket in that part of the world that you went to was Wegmans. When I was growing up, it was ShopRite and Weiss and A&P if you didn't have as much money. But in New York State, or at least when I was there, the shit was Wegmans. If you live in local DFW, a place like HEB or Central Market would be equivalent to what Wegmans was in 1997, 98, 99. Just a great deli, a great prepared food section, a really good supermarket, very, very advanced, very clean, very smelled good. And it was just, and my college buddy, Will, would get baked out of his mind, and we would go and get these humongous subs and just break them up into different sections and just put them in random pockets and go to the movie theater. I remember he was high out of his mind, and we were eating our smuggled Wegmans sub. I kid you not, this is like a 10-inch sandwich that you would have them like cut it into four and like wrap it individually, and you just shove it in different pockets. And once again, I was 245 pounds at this point. It was a little easier to hide things. It was kind of like the been caught stealing video from Jane's Addiction, where I didn't need the pregnant suit. I was one. And so we would get these sandwiches and we would sit in the theater and we watched The Matrix. Either Blade or The Matrix. Those are the two movies we'd go to the theater and see. But Wegmans was the shit. But they also had music. They would have just like this little random rack of CDs back in a time where buying CDs was a thing you did anytime you wanted to. Anywhere you wanted to. And so you would buy the... And so I was just going through, because back when I had just a little bit of money and a love of music, I just was like, oh, yeah, what do you got? What do you got? I need to make another mixtape. What do you got? And I stumbled onto a Bill Withers Greatest Hits. And it had Just the Two of Us and Other Classics. And I'm looking at the back of it. I was like, oh, Just the Two of Us. I know that one. I don't know that one. Eh, what the hell? It was only $5. Okay, cool. And I'm going through the album. And I get smacked in the face with Lovely Day. Just a really sweet song with a severely good bass line, by the way. Very underrated bass line. And the next thing you know, it was the song that I couldn't stop listening to. And the next thing after that, it was the final song I played every single week of my block of the City Rhythms music for WICB in Ithaca. It was great. And now, by the way, Ithaca was a cute little affirmative action case study, because the school was like 65% Jewish and 58% female, but they very much, like, this is a joke and not a joke, they bust in black folk from like Brooklyn and like Staten Island. Like, it was funny because you would see the whitest of the white, you would see the Jewiest of the Jew, I can say that, and then you would see the most brilliant of the ghetto. Like, they were very selective about who they took, but at the same time, they made sure you knew, hey, by the way, there's our diversity right there. No, seriously, there's our diversity. And I wish I was able to keep up with some of those people because there were some genuinely fun people, but they intimidated me because they were from the city. They were from New York City. They were from Newark. They were from Patterson. They were from places that scared me. They were places that I didn't understand. And we come back to the reference of the movie Congo. Amy, the gorilla that has been grown up in captivity, and they slap machines on her so that she learns how to speak sign language, and poor Amy wants to communicate with the other gorillas, but she's been from captivity, so she doesn't understand, and the gorillas that have been out in the wild, they don't understand her, they're looking at her like she's crazy. Listen, man, I didn't want to bring up the house and field comparison, but anybody that's listening that understands that, just go ahead and run with that. And I wanted to like be cool with these folks, but I just didn't understand how. It's a language I just didn't understand. It was a set of upbringing I didn't understand. And that's okay. But all of us were part of City Rhythms. And the last song that I played, well, we were all part of Ithaca, but we were all part of City Rhythms. I had to bring it back to what I was actually talking about there. But that song that you just heard should be, That song you heard is the last song I played at 5:50 some odd in the morning, leading up to the next person's show. And it was, I hope everybody has a great week, and let's start it off with you having a lovely day. This has been City Rhythms. This has been Booker T. I was Booker T. That was my on-air name at the time, because Booker T was my favorite wrestler at the time. I was very big into the Monday Night Wars and Monday Nitro. So I was Booker T. And that's the song I played to end it off. And so I then eventually branched off into my time at Eastern Michigan doing the Randomizer radio show. And then went a very long time not doing any microphone work, and eventually found the Fishbowl Radio Network and did that for a good long time. And now I'm here talking to you. So in some way or another, I have been talking to you with music as a vehicle, but my stories as the driver. But it all started as in the first time I was on the microphone with City Rhythms in Ithaca, and how every show ended was with Bill Withers and Lovely Day. And so when I heard that Bill Withers had passed, it took me into a lot of memories, took me into a lot of reminiscing and feelings and thoughts, and just kind of a nice quick retrospective. And another version, and if me telling you all this stuff isn't enough, I was listening to, I live in local DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and I listen to The Ticket. That's the main radio station I listen to. And now, in this time of hashtag flatten the curve, sports talk is forced to talk more about life talk. And one of the morning hosts is, he moonlights as a Americana / folk country singer. The Bird Dogs, look them up. George Dunham is member of the group. He's part of The Ticket, but he's also part of the Bird Dogs. And he got on air talking about the death of John Prine, singer-songwriter for whom I had never heard of. I sadly say I had never heard of him, or at least I had not heard of him directly. I may have heard of a song he has done, but I have not heard of him in particular. And George Dunham, who is in his mid-50s, I believe, starts to talk about how John Prine was an influencer of his music and how he loved his songwriting as early as 5 years old, and proceeded to talk about his older brothers and how they would go off to college, and there was songs from John Prine that he would listen to that reminded him of his brothers. And as he's talking on the air in morning drive radio, he breaks down and his voice starts to choke up, and you can tell he is pushing tears away as he's talking. And it was funny because I had my eyes closed and I was just listening to him talk and trying to kind of doze off and go back to sleep. And as soon as I heard his voice choke up, I opened my eyes and stared at the radio. Like it's 1953, I'm staring at the radio, waiting for it to become a visual medium. Because the story suddenly, it was a nice story, and then it became super compelling because now his emotions just got real. Because this man who he said never met John Prine, but was that influential in his music and his songs, reminded him of family gatherings where they would sit with a guitar and they'd play John Prine's songs. And it's stories like that that just helped me confirm what I said so many years ago. March 11th, I'm pretty sure it is, 2014. Whether you knew the person or not is irrelevant, because I never met Bill Withers either. But the effect that the art had on you, that stays with you. That lasts. And it creates a newer, better version of you in some way or another. Or at least it creates a memory, it creates a story, it creates a feeling, it creates an emotion, it creates something in you that helps you become something else. Even in just a small change. So, I can wholeheartedly tell you that I wrote down a whole bunch of thoughts just because I haven't done this for so long that I wanted to make sure I got to. And I'm very proud to look across this sheet of paper and know that I got it all out. But I'm also here to tell you that I've started writing other material. For those of you who miss All of the Above Radio, or miss All New, All Different, All of the Above, or miss me, Hank Thorpe, hey, how you doing? Find me on, I don't even remember my Instagram handle. You can find my personal handle at Hank, hey, how you doing? I think my show's Instagram page is what is it? Yeah, I probably should have been more prepared for this. I'm pretty sure it's Hank Told You So, but I don't know. I'll get that information back to you at some point or another. But I wanted very badly to tell you that in some form or another I'm back. Because much like when you put one foot in front of the other to get into shape or to get back into shape, you start to create a momentum. And a momentum can be cultivated with continued movement. A body at rest tends to stay at rest, which I did for a long time, even though I was a student. And a body in motion tends to stay in motion, which I kind of intend to do. Not just for all of you, for whom some of you missed me, but for me, a person who thrives off of being able to talk and say things that I feel are important and that can help all of you. People have asked me over and over again, why don't you go to therapy? Why don't you go talk to somebody? Why don't you? Because, well, I was paying $50 a week to do All of the Above Radio, not including the purchasing and the music and the drive and all of that. So $50 a week would have probably been, with insurance, what it would have costed to talk to somebody. But I would usually tell anybody who asked, I would rather get on a microphone and talk in the hopes that if 80 people listen to it, two people are able to laugh or learn or sympathize or say, I remember when that happened to me. Because if nothing else, I want to somewhat egotistically affect people, but I also want people to listen to me in the hopes that they don't do the same things I did. Or they can say, I remember when I heard that on All of the Above, or All New, All Different, All of the Above, and he did it like that. I wonder if that would work. And you can't get that in therapy. They're like, bonded to secrecy and all of that good stuff. And so it's kind of like you're talking to a wall where the words just kind of fall down to the ground. Yeah, sure, they remember what you said. But what the hell good is that? So it's always it was always more fun for me to know that I could get on microphone and possibly talk to somebody who was going through it, or might go through it, or would sympathize, or would feel the same as me as I was, or hell, even disagree with me. It's more fun to agree because it forwards the conversation along. But still, disagreements happen. Doesn't mean they don't care about you. Got to remind myself of that one every now and then. I am forever grateful for the memories that were given to me. Just this last week, I am of course sad for the passing of Bill Withers, because I'm sure his family misses him. I'm sure... I don't know if he felt like he had more to accomplish in this life, but I'm sure his family misses him. I'm sure that the music world misses him. Saw some sweet tributes on Instagram, one with Justin Timberlake, one of my heroes, musically. But I lost what I was going to say. I'm shocked that it's taken this long for me to forget what I was going to say. Oh, that's it. I am forever grateful of the memories I've had this last week since his passing. I am not glad for his passing. I didn't want his passing to be the reason that I finally got behind a microphone. But like I said at the beginning of the show, sometimes it takes something big to force you to put one foot in front of the other. Because let's just be honest, we as human beings are not always motivated for the sake of motivation. We don't always work for the sake of the work itself. Sometimes we need to be pushed. I appreciate Bill Withers for being a push, and I hope for his sake, and all of ours really, that there is a hereafter so that he knows the influences that he gave to me. And while I am on this plane, the influences that I give to you, oh yes, oh yes. If you wanted to go check out any of my previous stuff, just go to alloftheaboveradio.com or search All New, All Different, All of the Above from iTunes/Apple Music in the podcast section. And it will show you my most recent stuff, but it will also, you just keep on scrolling down and it will get you to the old All of the Above Radio content. It's been nice to get back on a microphone. And it will not be the last time anytime soon. I guarantee that. So we will do this again soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. This is Hank. This has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time. Stay hard, Bill Withers.
Can we pretend that from now on there is no yesterday? Paint a portrait of tomorrow with no colors from today. There's a light that shines in your face sometimes that takes my feelings, wraps them around your knees. But there's